This week, we're reporting a series of stories about Russia, specifically Russian youth. Today, our focus is on politics, so we're talking basically two groups of young people. The first, those who actively support President Vladimir Putin.
Who do the streets belong to in Russia?
Too easy question. Улица принадлежит нам.
All right, I don't speak Russian, so let me bring in the world's Daniel Hoffman here.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, Daniel. Daniel and I traveled to Russia together to report these stories.
So the person you heard there, his name is Sergei Khristienko. He said the streets belong to us, and by us he means Putin's party, United Russia.
And then there's the opposition, who are the young Russians challenging Putin and his party, and who also claim to hold the streets.
Right. This second group includes supporters of a different party, called Russia of the Future. It's led by Alexei Navalny.
Navalny is the most prominent of the Russian opposition voices.
Yeah, and he first became known as a result of a blog he ran on government corruption. But he really arrived on the scene in the lead-up to the 2012 presidential elections in Russia.
Alexei Navalny!
Moscow saw some of its biggest protests since the end of the Cold War. And there in the middle of it all was Alexei Navalny.
Привет, бандерлогам и сетевых хомячков!
Navalny wasn't actually a presidential candidate at the time, but he was everywhere. He had this fiery tone that still rings true for many Russians who are fed up with the status quo. These days, Navalny brings that tone to other platforms, primarily YouTube.
Потому что вы своим видом, своей глупостью, своей некомпетентностью позорите Россию.
He's anti-Putin all the way. And he and his supporters have paid the price for that.
To get to the nerve center of Alexei Navalny's party and PR operation, we took the metro several stops outside the center ring of the city. It's in a part of Moscow where you see Soviet-era buildings getting squeezed out by shopping centers and modern office blocks. The Russia of the Future Party headquarters is based in one of these modern buildings.
Marko.
Очень приятно.
Lyubov Sobol is Navalny's longest-serving aide. Today, she's the producer of the Navalny Live YouTube channel.
Мы сейчас находимся в студии канала Navalny Live. Здесь, в том числе за стенкой, располагается студия небольшая.
Right now, we're in the Navalny Live studio. In the next room, there's another small studio where Navalny records his videos for his main channel. He has 2.5 million subscribers on Russian YouTube.
The Navalny Live YouTube channel is one of the main ways the Russia of the Future Party gets its message out. That message shrewdly is embedded in the channel's investigative reporting into corruption high up in the Russian government.
We're not doing this because we want to be producers or YouTubers. We're doing this because mass media does not allow people like Navalny, people who disagree with the government, to appear on state television. The media is controlled by the government, and that includes print media as well. You only see free expression on the internet.
And Daniel, it was somewhere around here in the interview that Sobol cited an old Russian proverb that she said explains the current state of the Russian government. What did she say?
She said the fish rots from the head, like meaning society rots from the top to the bottom. So real change would require a grassroots effort, starting from the bottom and going all the way up to the top.
Now, one of the problems these young activists have is another group of young activists who support Vladimir Putin with as much vigor.
Remember, this is a battle for the hearts and minds of young Russians. Alexei Navalny has tapped into something, something exciting, young and hopeful, something that United Russia is missing. So a push has been underway for a few years now to counter that, to solidify young support for Putin. Молодая Гвардия is essentially the youth wing of the United Russia Party. They've got a strong organization in Russia's second biggest city, St. Petersburg. So that's where we went to meet them.
Inside the main hall of the St. Petersburg train station, the statue of Peter the Great greeted us as we arrived. And outside on Nevsky Prospect, we ran across a giant parade of at least 1,000 motorcyclists, including some of Putin's motorcycle gang loyalists, the Night Wolves. At the Molodaya Gvardiya headquarters, we waited in a conference room for the young Putin supporters. One of the walls was covered with an elaborately detailed events calendar.
Wow, it's really well scheduled here. Super strategic.
A few minutes later, seven activists from Молодая Гвардия enter. They're all in their 20s and pretty friendly.
Anna.
Sergei.
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 Alexander.
Alexander Malakov is a Молодая Гвардия director in St. Petersburg, and Sergei Kristenko is his deputy. We asked both of them how they first got interested in politics. Here's Sergei.
Ну, на самом деле, я еще с первого класса хотел стать президентом. Вот.
To be honest, since first grade, I've wanted to become the president. Then, after ninth grade, I got into college, and from there I got into Молодая Гвардия and United Russia.
And Alexander?
I
think this actually might be a theme for many of us. In fact, my first essay in school was not if I become the president, but rather when I become the president, I will do these things A, B, C, D, E.
So clearly some of these activists have, or had anyway, some political ambitions. But for others, like Anastasia Koveza, they got involved with the group almost accidentally.
So for me, Молодая Гвардия is a social boost. It's not just for politicians and lawyers. So for me, I was a medical student and I was curious about how legislation is written. And thanks to my work within Молодая Гвардия, in just 3 years, not only did I get an internship, but I got the job.
What Anastasia says there is crucial. That social boost she talks about is a huge incentive for people to join Молодая Гвардия. Often people from all over Russia move to big cities like Moscow or St. Petersburg to pursue their education or to find better jobs. Once they get there, it's not easy to build connections and get ahead. That's one of the benefits Молодая Гвардия has to offer. All you have to do is support Putin and the United Russia Party. In other words, attend rallies, organize events, pump up pro-government statements on social media. If you do, they will help you get internships and jobs in the field of your choice.
I mean, what you're saying, Daniel, is that Молодая Гвардия is a political organization, but it's also kind of a social club. When we press them on more fundamental political issues, though, it feels like they are resorting to a script with talking points. Do you think of Russia as a democratic country?
Безусловно, считаем, как демократично по отношению к людям, да, которые...
Without a doubt, we have a lot of political parties. I recall that in your country, there are two main political parties, Republicans and the Democrats. We have many more in our parliament and in our legislative assembly. In addition, we have many other public organizations where people voice their opinions.
That was Alexander. He's prepared to answer all of our questions. He's a pro. When I asked the group about the crackdown on NGOs in Russia, again, Alexander replies.
Я думаю, что средства массовой информации немного иначе преподносят вам эту информацию. Но давайте я вам задам встречный вопрос. У вас...
I would say that your media presents this question a little incorrectly. Let me ask you a question. In the U.S., are non-commercial organizations allowed to receive foreign funding and not declare these donations? As far as I'm aware, it's not allowed. Additionally, even citizens in some cases need to declare themselves as foreign agents, right? If you put aside what you're being told in the media over there, and if you just compare the laws of U.S. and Russia, you will see that our law is much more liberal.
So Alexander deflects a criticism of Russia onto the United States. And Daniel, you noticed a change in the room when the discussion got more serious, didn't you?
Right. You could really feel the hierarchy amongst the group. Sergei would refer to Alexander in terms like my senior colleague. And about halfway through our meeting, Alexander basically took over the conversation. The younger Молодая Гвардия supporters sort of clammed up, almost instinctively.
Right. That's what happened when we asked him about the opposition, about Navalny, his popularity, and his ability to get people out in the streets to protest. The younger ones ceded the floor.
These Молодая Гвардия activists are proud. They're not going to be shown up by Navalny and the opposition. Now, they may not have as many subscribers as Navalny on YouTube, but they have full access to state-controlled media. The audience is older, but it's a huge audience, one that Navalny simply can't access. And like I said, the time and effort Молодая Гвардия put into organizing events later pays off with jobs and opportunities, even if they don't stay in politics. And again, the bargain is that they have to support United Russia and Putin, a contract that other political activists in Russia refused to sign on to.
Right. I mean, that was certainly the case with the opposition activists we met in Nizhny Novgorod. It's a city about 300 miles east of Moscow. Less hustle and bustle, much calmer atmosphere. If the Navalny media operation in Moscow was slick, the Navalny supporters we met in Nizhny Novgorod kind of felt like the movement in its early days.
Marco.
Hello.
The Navalny headquarters here in Nizhny are really just a couple of rooms. Institutional desks and chairs, tables with future Russia pamphlets, and on the walls, framed photos of Alexei Navalny. Dmitry Silivonchik greets us. He's the local coordinator. And he introduces us to five other diehard Navalny supporters. These are people who go into the streets. They attend rallies, campaign during elections, and get arrested. Here's Dmitry Silivonchik.
Amongst the people present in this room, almost everyone here has been arrested at one point or another. So for the most part, any person who is actively involved in activism faces some sort of government investigation, persecution, fines, or short jail terms.
Those arrests, that rising pressure on the opposition to not protest, it really brings into sharp relief for these Navalny supporters what's at stake.
When I go to a rally or some activity, I'm afraid because I understand that I may not, come home.
That's another Dmitry Kalentiev. He's a tutor in Nizhny Novgorod, but in his free time, he's a future Russia activist, despite his fear. Putin's United Russia Party often depicts Navalny supporters, especially the younger ones, as clueless kids riled up by their angry leader. United Russia says that Navalny manipulates his people, that he's the one who's getting them arrested. But the Navalny supporters we met in Nizhny seem to know exactly what they're getting into and why. Here's Dmitry Silivonchik again.
If we don't do this work, then we will lose our future. This motivates me. I understand that if nothing changes, there won't be a future either way. We already basically lost everything, so we're trying to save the situation. That's how I see it.
Alexei Navalny, for me, it is like future. He gives me future.
This is Dmitry Kalentiev again.
He is just that person that wants to change the present. I think that there is no other person for now who does the same.
So, Daniel, what did you take away from meeting all of these young activists?
For these opposition activists, Alexei Navalny represents change, or the promise of change, especially the promise of ending corruption in politics. But even more than that, they like that Navalny is angry. He's channeling their anger. And I think that motivates the Navalny supporters to risk so much to do their work.
And thinking about just how different the dynamic was with the Putin supporters we met in St. Petersburg compared to the Navalny supporters in Nizhny Novgorod, the Navalny supporters have everything to lose, while the Putin supporters really have everything to gain. Leaving two questions out there for all of them, what price are you willing to pay to get ahead, and what price are you willing to pay for freedom?
Yeah, and these are the same questions that Navalny Live producer Lyubov Sobol is asking back at the future Russia headquarters in Moscow. It may seem like Lyubov and her colleagues are a little bit safer than the activists in Nizhny Novgorod, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right. I mean, Lyubov told us that just 3 years ago, her husband, Sergei, was stabbed in the thigh with a syringe, which rendered him unconscious. I mean, he was hospitalized and eventually recovered, but Lyubov got the message.
In a way, we saw it ourselves. Aside from this threat of violence, Lyubov and many of the other Navalny activists are literally being watched.
Right. I mean, it was kind of stunning. Just as we were leaving Navalny headquarters, one of the activists pointed out to us that there are always these guys, spies really, watching who enters and exits their offices. Putin guys. So as we left the Navalny offices, we saw one of these people, and we decided to confront them.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
I don't speak English.
No comments.
Do you speak English?
No.
After that encounter, the guy literally ran away, back into the elevator, probably trying to get out of the building. Unfortunately for him, though, the elevator was going up.
Right.
So on his way back down, the elevator stopped again, and the doors opened right in front of us. He was already on the phone saying, "Они меня снимают." They're recording me.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't feel sinister or dangerous, but it was a great reminder that if you're part of the opposition to Vladimir Putin, you'll be watched, maybe even more.
And that discourages a lot of young Russians from being politically active, from fully participating in the free exchange of ideas. And for those who do participate, sometimes they feel like they're shouting into the void.
Shouting into the void. We'll pick up on that when we meet young feminists in Russia. how they get their message out, plus Moscow rappers battle for their right to be the voice of their generation. Those stories coming up in the days ahead as our series from Russia continues. Major help for these stories about Generation Putin came from producer Charles Maines in Moscow.